We're Talking Gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
We are talking gardening. Do you want to get involved? 92211 882. Sue McDougall, hello.
Hello, Darren. How are you going? You did the first hour was very busy.
It was. Yeah. Lots and lots of callers.
Yeah. Well done.
Apologies to everyone. We wanted to talk a lot about whether or not it was okay to call grown women a girl. Would you be offended if someone called you,
no.
Come on, girls.
Don't care. I do not care. Those things, I think we've just got way over the top and way sensitive. And who really cares?
Well, lots of people
no
had
no different. Did they say the same?
Well, lots of people wanted to have a say, and I'm giggling at the fact there's a text came through and said, driving the beach this breakfast and listening to another morning of man bashing from Eddie. Eddie, no one's bashing men.
Well, this has been a topic that's been in the news this last week. So it's, do you say, come on, boys.
I wouldn't be offended by that.
Put your head in. Who cares?
As our expert, Mo Fox, said, maybe there's time and a place. Maybe, in a board meeting, that's probably not the time to say, you and the girls need to do this.
But girls, I see that as a colloquial similar to guys. Come on, guys.
It's just a way of referring to people.
Exactly. It's a group reference. Instead of saying, some people get offended when you call them, come on, ladies, because it sounds condescending.
Good Lord.
Maybe.
I used to call people pet and love.
Oh, have you seen the Vera show? The Vera?
No.
It's a murder show. The series is gone on ABC.
I bet there's a lot of pet and lovey there.
She calls everyone pet and she's this major serious crime investigator. She calls everyone pet. It's hilarious.
All right.
Anyway, serious work. We are in the garden. It's so exciting. It's beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh,
it's awesome.
Pat from Bullsbrook just sent us an email. Hi, Darren. Madams run brothels. Women work in them, and the ladies do the banking.
I'm in
my 70s and take it as a compliment to be called girls, and you can call me anything, but don't call me...
Late for dinner.
You got it. Thank you, Pat.
There we go. Where did that late for dinner stuff come from? I don't know either.
But apologies, there were lots more people that were calling up that wanted to chat than we could get to, so
great
we appreciate
work,
that.
Darren.
Always love it. But gardening now, let's get to you, Penny in Rockingham. Hello.
Sue, I've got a Wollamai pine in a pot.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it since it was a few inches tall.
Yeah.
It is now over 7 feet tall.
Wow.
Beautiful.
How tall do they get?
200 metres.
Big.
So I think it needs to go in the ground.
No, well, actually, I wouldn't put it in the ground in Rockingham. When you look at where they grow naturally, you'll find that they will be one of those plants that totally different to being in the limestone soil in Rockingham. So keep it in the ground. Where they grow naturally is in this really protected forest area that is just...
Keep it in the pot?
Certainly, yes.
Does that mean it won't go nuts and go to 200 metres?
Well, it won't. You can cut it off, but you'll get a branching plant, Penny.
Right, yes. It's beautiful, though.
Yeah.
I love it. My daughter bought it for me.
They are just gorgeous, gorgeous. They are one of those plants that, well, when I say gorgeous, one of my pines have been around since dinosaur ages, 200 million years.
Wow.
And that's why she bought it.
Because you...
don't finish that sentence.
Mother's a dinosaur.
Oh, beautiful. Good on her. Yeah, it's still looking gorgeous. If it gets tall, you can cut it back. 7 foot high. You've got potential to have 3 metre high tree in a pot. No problem at all, Penny, but avoid planting it in the ground.
Okay. I'll leave it in its pot.
Thank you.
Would they take up, structural things, paving and stuff like that?
No. They just totally won't.
Not that kind of pine?
Not that kind of pine, yeah, and totally not. Well, they would over time if they get that big, but we don't know, really. In the ground, they seem to struggle really bad.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Ours is not the spot for it.
Blue Mountains in a protected valley. Nobody knows where it is. It survived ice ages. It's survived, warming climate change, and where it grows naturally. We just don't know, but I wouldn't have thought windy area in Rockingham with alkaline soil. These dinosaurs would have never seen alkaline soil, ever. So let's not push our luck.
Maybe that's the real reason for the dinosaur extinction.
Yeah.
WA soil.
Yeah. Well, it's not that silly. Have you seen, of course, we had so many dinosaurs up north and now they're still discovering the footprint.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting. Actually, I did see something about a footprint discovered. Yeah. Robert in Marangaroo, morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Sue, Daryl. Yeah, I agree with you about not calling me late for dinner. Yes, I hate that. Common sake. Sue, where and what do I do for preparations for Cassia fistula? First of all, where and when can I buy one, please?
You should be able to buy one now, Robert. The Cassia fistula or fistula is the best time of the year to get it in summer. So anywhere spring, often you don't get them at the beginning of the season because the nurseries had to grow them out as well. So by anywhere from December to March, April, you will then see them around the garden centres. I've actually seen some fairly advanced ones around, depending on what your budget is. You'll find you'll be able to, well, of course, in Marangaroo Way, any Marangaroo, Morley, Dunella, that pocket, these trees do beautifully, as you know. They are just gorgeous. Yeah.
So what do I do for soil preparation? Because I'm planning on putting it out on the front verge, and it'll be probably 6-7 metres away from a ficifolia tree, which is well in advance. Now, that won't interfere with it, will
not
it?
At all. If it's 6 to 7 metres, that's absolutely no problem at all.
Yeah. And buy the fistula, probably get one about a metre and a half to 2 metres. I want it fairly well established.
You should be able to get hold of one of those, but that might be a special order. Zip to your local garden centre, which everyone uses, and say, look, I'm looking for an advanced cassia. Are they available? Often with advanced, really advanced ones, it depends if there's been commercial plantings, because often landscape architect firm goes in and says, I need or specifies 50 advanced ones, and so they're growing to order or grown to order. But they should be able to, if they can get the biggest possible, depending on the budget, of course, you should be able to get one, Robert, no problem.
And what about fertiliser or
Controlled release fertiliser is what you put in the hole with some blood and bone, a couple of handfuls of blood and bone, mix that through, and into soil mix. So Marangaroo's got that beautiful sand. It's easy to dig a hole. 30 centimetres of the base.
That's one bonus element, isn't it?
It certainly is. 30 centimetres or like a third of the base soil goes, and then you put back in equal volume soil improver. Yeah.
And can I throw in one extra question, if I may?
Go for it.
To grow broad beans underneath or next to a passion fruit one, which is not very well established, would the broad beans interfere with the passion fruit?
No, not at all. What the broad beans will do, so if you want to, if it's only a small passion fruit, go for it. Improve the soil, your passion fruit will benefit. But when you improve the soil with sheep manure or cow manure, veggie mix, mix that through, put your blood in. But put a little bit of blood and bone, I talk about. A little bit of dolomite lime for broad beans as well. Grow only a tiny bit. So grow your broad beans there, but leave them there when they're finished or cut them back, lay them on the ground because they take the nitrogen from the soil, from the air to improve the soil. So you're virtually working like a green manure crop. And lay the branches down, lay the leaves down, everything when they're finished because they will be a mulch for next summer.
Oh, I see. The dinosaurs won't eat the leaves, will they?
They might eat the shoots, and you might end up eating them because they'll be there for salad.
They might eat you if you're cheeky.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Good on you, Robert. Okay. Let's head to Beach for Sean. Hello. What can we do for you?
Yeah, g'day. I rang last week in regards to swamp grass.
Yes.
You know, just want to thank you, Sue, for your information, your input. It worked successfully. I couldn't actually track down the alley that you were talking about.
Yeah, the alley. Did you go to Landmark on Farrell Road?
Yep.
Did you talk to them there?
I did actually go there.
Yeah.
So they didn't have any of that. They got the stuff called Surefire. Which,
oh, yeah, okay, same.
The active constituent was melsulfuran, I think that's it.
Metasulfurin is how you say it. Metasulfurin, which is the same active ingredient. Well, that will be very successful. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I mixed it with a bit of glyphosate as well. And the friend that I did the bit of spraying for, she's more than happy. So after about 3 days, the weeds were getting knocked over. So
excellent. Great work. Well done. I'm glad. That's good news, Sean. Yay. Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Our pleasure. Yeah.
Nice of you to give us a progress report so we don't get them all the time.
No, I love it.
Thank you. Good on you, Sean. If you want to join in, maybe you've got a success story from Sue's advice or you want some. Either way, 922 11 882. Send us a text on 19 999 677, or if you've got a picture that we need to see, email. And that's weekendwakeup@6pr.com.au. There is a line or two spare. Love to hear from you. 8:15.
You're listening to The Weekend Wake Up for KingCare, specialists delivering in-home care for WA's elderly and people with disability.
It's Chris Elsley. Coming up on Perth Tonight, our computer whiz, Ben Aylett.
The old encryption debate and building in back doors. The problem is that when you build a back door for one person, it's a back door for everyone.
Always with opinions, Carolee Katzenbarnas.
A lot of people pass judgment and they forget what it's like when your world is turned upside down by either being pregnant or having a newborn baby or anything like that. And I don't think that we cut people enough slack nowadays.
Perth Tonight with Chris Elsley. Tomorrow night from 8 on 882. 6PR. Or catch up now at 6pr.com.au. Harvey Norman Red Hot Camera Deals. Every camera on sale now. All types, all brands, including a Red Hot 20% off all Canon cameras in stock. Nikon D3400 Digital SLR. You pay $447, just $397 after $50 cashback via redemption. Save over $190 after cashback. GoPro Hero 5. Now just $488, save over $50. Savings off normal ticketed prices. Every camera on sale at Harvey Norman. Hurry, ends Monday.
Carl Langdon here. Learn how to fish like a pro at Golden Ponds Fishing Lessons with Master Fisherman Peter Golding. Rods, tackle and bait available for hire or purchase. Classes run weekends in April. Bookings essential. Goldenponds.com.au.
Hi, I'm Michelle Bridges. If you're looking for a healthy meal, pop into Woolies and pick up my new range of delicious, nutritious, ready meals. They're packed with two or more serves of vegetables and have no artificial colours, flavours or preservatives. And best of all, they take less than 5 minutes to prepare. Healthy has never tasted so good. Pick them up in the deli at Woolworths today.
A property market update with Dr. Andrew Wilson. Thanks to Domain, Australia's best property app. Find your perfect home on the Domain app or at domain.com.au.
Perth clearly remains a buyer's market, but we are starting to see some early signs of increased demand from buyers, particularly in higher priced inner suburban areas. Those buyers are perceiving that it's a good opportunity to move into a trade-up market where the challenges, yes, are finding a buyer for their existing property, but once that challenge is met, they can then move into a higher price range, taking advantage of those lower interest rates. And we are starting to see some results in terms of higher prices growth in those inner suburban prestige areas of Perth. So early days yet, but no doubt some better signs for the Perth housing market moving through the early autumn selling season.
Finding your perfect home is easy with Domain. Download Australia's best property app or visit domain.com.au.
Get NBN ready with iPrimus, your NBN experts. Switch to an iPrimus NBN plan today and get unlimited data plus unlimited standard national calls for just $79.90 per month. If the NBN is still on its way, sign up to an iPrimus broadband plan and get a VIP upgrade as soon as the NBN arrives. That means no exit fees when you upgrade. Connect today with iPrimus. Call 131 101. Not available in all areas. Minimum cost $1,917.60 over 24 months.
We're talking gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
We would love to get you aboard if you've got a gardening drama that needs sorting.
Is there... Well, not all gardening questions are dramas.
No, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But for some people, all problems are dramas, so, you know.
Yeah, that's right. So it's all relative, isn't it? But it's beautiful to be outside today. You just enjoy it because it's absolutely stunning. It's still, there's no easterly wind. Those people that are riding their bike, there's a biking event up the hill, going up the hill, so those people who are riding their bike wouldn't be so excited. No, they not. Would be would because they wouldn't be going against the easterly winds.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's no wind, so they're actually getting up the hill. Saw hundreds of bike riders heading up the hill today.
Good luck to all of them. Well, I don't know, they'd all be listening to us.
I'm sure they would be, wouldn't they, when they're riding their bike going, why did I decide I was going to do this? Good idea.
I would want something to divert my attention from the task at hand.
Yes.
All right, 922 11 882, if you've got a question. Alyssa in Carramar, hello.
Hello, Alyssa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Now, can I just say, Alyssa sent an email in to us yesterday, a query about a flowering peach. Alyssa used to do work experience with Harvey and I. Oh. How many years ago, Alyssa?
Well, I'm 27 now, so I reckon I was about 15.
You were 15, exactly. And all those people you rang in, answer the phone, you were about 15 when you're doing work experience. Gorgeous, gorgeous, wonderful to hear you're doing so well. Fantastic news.
Now you've grown up to be a caller on gardening.
Yeah,
that's the full circle.
Exactly. Love my morning gardening show.
Oh, that's awesome. Now tell us about your flowering peach.
I've got a gorgeous flowering peach, but it's deciding that it's only growing in one direction. It's in full sun, but I just wondered, coming up to winter, can I prune it, and how would be a way to prune it so it bushes up a little bit further for next summer?
They tend to go a little bit one-sided anyway, because they're only grafted on one side, Alyssa. So that will be to start with the first 12 months anyway. So don't prune it until after it's finished flowering. You'll find if you prune it in winter, you'll lose those beautiful flowers. And the reason you grow it is for the flowers. So particularly after it's finished flowering, you can prune it back. Did you prune it when you planted it?
No, but it didn't have anything on it when we planted it.
Okay.
It was just bare sticks.
Yeah, often what we do is recommend people just to prune it to give it some shape, to encourage it to branch out when you plant it. And then, so the following year, it's not that exciting. The second year is gorgeous. So coming up this year, but that's okay, because you can prune it back by a third. Wherever you prune it, no problem at all. If you want it more vase shape and spread out, cut the main middle branch out, you can prune that up to a third and it will branch out beautifully. So don't worry about the shape, and it will, that little kink at the base will straighten itself out. So next year you'll find it will go through growing phase next year and it will really straighten itself out. The thing that I would recommend doing now is, as it's dropping its leaves, just spray it with a peach leaf curl spray, a copper-based spray, so that it doesn't get peach leaf curl. So as it's dropping its leaves, while we've got some dry weather, it's a good idea to spray that then.
Oh,
and
perfect.
Then you don't get affected, then that new growth doesn't get affected by peach leaf curl. Otherwise, it'll be gorgeous. Enjoy.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Keep in contact, Alyssa. Yeah. Let us know what you're up to.
I will. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Great to chat to you this morning. Uru, 92211882, another one that emailed through via Weekend Wake Up at 6pr.com.au is Jan in Carlisle.
Hello, Jan.
Hi, Sue. Hi, Darren. How are you both going?
Yeah, very well. You've got a huge lucky bamboo. You must be very lucky.
Oh, yes.
I wish I was, but I'm not.
That's not a benchtop model anymore, is it?
No, it's not a benchtop plant anymore, looking at it.
No, because it was in my office. I've had it in my office for 8 years, and, it's just a normal, nice-looking plant when I first got it.
Yeah.
And now it's 1.2 metres high, and I have to staple it up, or, I've had it pinboard to a pinboard, so it wouldn't fall over and break. But I do want to do something with it because I think, what can I do with it without losing it? I lose it?
No, you won't lose it. That's okay. First thing first is go and get a ZZ plant for your office. You can't kill them and they don't get too big. So replace it with a ZZ plant. But with your lucky bamboo, you can cut that back down to the height of that little bamboo stake, which will be about 20 centimetres, if that.
Yep.
Cut it back there, and then all those pieces, you can use those cuttings in a glass jar or a vase of water with stones or glass pebbles in it, and you'll get 17 plants shooting away. So then all those leaves, all those branches, you just chop back, and then it will shoot that base plant. If it's in soil, I'd take all the soil away from that base plant that's there, all the soil away, wash it. You can put it back in soil or you can put it back in water, whatever you want to, and you regenerate it that way.
Okay, then. So the top half, I cut back down to that, and I can even replant them if I want to.
You can cut those into sections. So what I would be doing is cutting them into sections about 25 centimetres long, getting a beautiful glass vase, and then just strip all the leaves off except the very top shoots. So some of them might die. So if they're pieces, you can do 20 centimetres, 25 centimetres, whatever height you want. And then you just bunch it together. So it's like a whole bunch of cuttings like a bunch of roses you buy, the stems.
Sounds good.
And then just stuff them in water with glass stones in them and away they'll go. North facing.
And I don't need to do any fertilizing or enhancing.
Well, if you put too much, it's interesting you ask about that. Any little bit of liquid fertilizer will be beneficial to get them growing. Too much will cause algae to grow. So what you and salts to build up. So what you need to do is put a little bit of fertilizer on the in the water, leave it there for 2 or 3 days, rinse it out, tip it out, and then put fresh water in.
Okay.
Cool. Do that every fortnight.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Now,
thank you very much.
We inspect another photo in a few months' time, please.
Okay. I'm sure we'll send that through.
Thanks, Jan.
Thank you, Sue.
Pleasure.
Bye. All right, let's go to Thornley and let's talk passion fruit with Marie. Hello, Marie.
Good morning. Good morning, Sue. So I was given a passion fruit at Christmas time. I've only got a 2-metre fence with a frame on it.
Yeah.
And it's nearly to the top of the fence. Now, what do I do? Pinch it out or what do I do?
You got it at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will have a time for it to branch out now while the weather's still a little bit warm. I'd be hesitant to trimming it back in winter. But what we want to do is give it a light haircut in spring. So nip the tips out, let it branch out, give it a little light trim in spring to encourage it to branch out. So do that now. Just nip the tip out. And then that will encourage it to branch out. Leave it. Don't prune any more of it until spring. Prune it lightly and then it will branch out some more. So you want it to branch out because there's no use. Then it will grow over the fence to the neighbours and they'll get all the passion fruit and you'll miss out. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. And soil in any soil enrichment?
At the moment, one of the best things to use is some dynamic lifter or some power feed pallets or some rooster booster or one of those, just lightly. You don't want to give it too much soft new growth at this time of the year, but then you give it a lot more at the beginning of spring.
Of spring.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that.
Pleasure.
I'll do it.
Pleasure. Good on you, Marie. Got one on the text here, 19999677, from Karen saying, good morning, Sue. I've been working on this, by the way. I have two Pittosporum Tenufolium.
Yeah.
Screenmaster bushes. I still don't think I got that, but you know
that's
what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you mean.
10 years old they are. On one of the bushes, a section has gone completely brown. I'm concerned the plant may be slowly dying or maybe just got sunburnt. Do you know how I can help the plant as it's doing a wonderful job of screening my back fence and I'd hate to lose one or both?
They tend to do that, unfortunately, Karen. Mm. They are a plant that tends to die back. Screen Master does beautifully in cool climates. We have those. They cope really well until we have those really hot days. Then we'll get die back. And that could have been from sun. It could have been from... Pittosporum bug doesn't usually get it, but it can cause damage, but mostly it dies back. You get these branches die back. Trim it out. We had a caller last week who'd had the same problem actually, and if we can trim it back, really make sure they're susceptible to watery repellency or dry soil in certain areas. So what happens is you'll find that one area of the soil will be water repellent, that and then that dies, and then that particularly relates to that particular part of the plant. So wetting agent all around is really important, and then mulch to keep that root system cool. And no matter how old the tree is, you need to keep at it. You know, it's one of those ones that can't fend for itself.
Right, but it's not the end of the line.
Not the end.
Don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up. That's
maybe.
Also depends a little bit, Darren, about what's on the other side of the fence.
Right.
You know, often we talk about our own backyard and what's on the other side of the fence as far as is it a tree that's taking all the nutrients? You know, we had a caller yesterday about the olive trees taking the nutrients, the magnolias. That can happen too.
Yeah,
So whatever's on the other side of the fence, if it's a Japanese peppercorn tree or something that's really invasive, that won't be helping your Pittosporums, Karen.
All right, but... think positive. Mm. Graham in Mandurah, we'll chat to you shortly. It's 29 after 8. We're talking gardening and love to hear from you. 922-11882. The number?
It's WA Will Week. Have you made a will? Protect your loved ones by ensuring your estate will be distributed how you want. Making or updating your will through the public trustee is easy, affordable, and you choose who you'd like as executor. Our professional service, expert advice and free storage in the WA Will Bank gives you absolute peace of mind. Call the public trustee on 1300 746 116 to book your will appointment now, authorised by the State Government Perth.
Now's the time to make the decision. If you're joining or you're thinking of joining me on the Celebrity Millennium to tour the most beautiful gardens of Japan, then you need to get in quick as spaces are filling really fast. Don't miss this epic adventure to see some of Japan's world-famous gardens in stunning destinations like Tokyo, Kyoto, and Nagasaki. Now, we're going for 19 days. We leave in September. So what are you waiting for? There's no excuse. Book your spot today by calling Travel Ride on 1-800-033-436 or head online to travelrite.com.au.
See a cold or flu coming? See that you pick up Healthy Care Vitamin C from Chemist Warehouse. See how it may reduce the frequency, severity and durations of symptoms. See how it's Australian made and see its great price. Healthy Care Vitamin C 500 milligram chewable 500 tabs is only $19.99. Always read the label, use only as directed. If symptoms persist, see a healthcare professional. Chemist Warehouse, lowest prices guaranteed.
Hi, it's Kaylee here. What happens when a club with over 230,000 members aged 50 and over decides to create a life insurance offer just for its members? 50 Up Life Insurance happens, that's what. The 50 Up Club is now offering its members its own range of life insurance covers. Join now at 50upclub.com.au to get a 20% saving for the life of the policy. That's right, a 20% saving for the life of the policy. Get a quick quote at 50upclub.com.au. 50 Up Life Insurance Cover is issued by Australian-owned, award-winning Noble Oak Life Limited and subject to underwriting processes. Any general advice provided by Noble Oak does not take into account your individual objectives, financial situation or needs. To ensure this cover is right for you, please read the PDS at 50upclub.com.au.
Before you book your next Toyota service, find out in advance how much it will cost and what's included. Guaranteed. Search Toyota Service Pricing for details. Conditions apply.
Did you know that Bethany can help you live well at home? For people over the age of 55, Bethany is ready to support you with home nursing and personal care services today. Bethany's respite and domestic assistance help make life a little bit easier. And our social centres across the Perth metro area help seniors connect with the community, share interests and catch up with friends. Get to know Bethany. Visit us at bethany.com.au or call 131 151.
We're talking gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR.
28 to 9. 922 11882 to join in as we talk gardening this morning. And Sue, before we got round to actually garden proper today, we were talking about how you're going to talk about planting grevilleas.
Yes, we were, because they're looking so gorgeous, particularly the autumn flowering ones. So they're the tropical flowering varieties. They're the tall ones, beautiful big flowers. We talk about Sylvia, Coconut Ice, just these in Moonlight is another variety. And they are huge big flowers. They're big shrubs, huge flowers, looking absolutely amazing.
To my mind, the untrained mind, they always look a bit bottle brushy.
Yeah, they are. Mm. They are similar, exactly, but a variance of colour. And they do have, cool. They do have very different, probably foliage is probably the easiest way to divide it. Okay. Compound foliage is what you're looking for. But these are varieties, and when we talk about, we call them in the industry tropical grevilleas. But that's not to say that they don't do really well here. Some areas they don't do so well in alkaline soil. So if you've got really limestone alkaline capped soil, limestone capped rock, forget it. Because the leaves go yellow, but that's when you've got opportunities to put those in pots. So some of these tropical grevilleas are grafted. Some of the weeping ones are grafted. They look stunning as standards as well. Some of them aren't upright varieties, but in a pot, you can grow grevilleas very successfully in a pot. And, you know, if you've got a small space, a small courtyard, and you think, oh, I just love my grevillea. And as
there's some
awesome varieties in the family. And so they're even as a tall plant in a pot, or as a standard, grown as a standard, a weeping standard in a pot, all you need is native potting mix and native controlled release fertilizer and the pot up off the ground and a clay pot. So a diameter of a pot that would be 40 to 50 centimeters wide. Mm-hmm. I want to try and find a photo of my standard grevillea, and you'll see what it looks like. It's just so rewarding. And well, the honey eaters come in.
That's exactly right. The birds.
The birds love it. And only one family of honey eaters can sustain themselves on a grevillea plant that's got spot flowers all year round as well. Okay. So they use that as a food source. And if you've got a little bit of water around, as far as a water bowl, bird bath, you know, you're starting biodiversity in your own backyard. Mm. And that's a great thing because these honey eaters eat the spiders. They eat little insects. Mm-hmm. They are, as well as, so they're in, as well as honey, honey and nectar, they still fly around under my veranda and eat all the bugs. And, you know, they are just part of the family. And I think that if we can all do that in our backyard, just a little bit of creating that biodiversity. There's so much research going on at the moment that we tend to think nature, we can't have nature in the city.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, it's out there on the other side of the fence or the other side of the estate wall. But what we need to do is rethink it and say, I'm doing this for me, for my mm-hmm. own pleasure, but I'm also doing it for the greater wide of biodiversity. And if it happens to be a family of honey eaters, or there's quite a few different species of honey eaters, it doesn't even have to be just the New Holland honey eater, you'll find that you're starting to be part of nature rather than being looking over it from the other side of the fence.
And the improvement that would make, just sort of your general well-being and mood, just them floating around.
I do. And I look at honey eaters, it's like my family. I look at the whole family of the honey eaters.
It's like that with birds.
They are so loud. They fight, they argue, but they back up. If there's a threat, they are all there to help.
They're great to watch.
They
little
are
birds.
Such good value. Yeah.
So look, there you go. There's a suggestion. That's Sue's autumnal suggestion for you. We need a segment opener for that.
We do.
Sue's Sue's seasonal variation.
There you go.
I'm working on the fly.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mandurah. That may not see the light of day, and I don't blame you. Graham and Mandurah, morning to you.
Hi, Graham. You're just verbalising. How are you
Graham,
going, Graham?
Hello.
Good, thanks.
We got you. Good, good. What can we do for you?
A quick question. I've got a pink lady tree in the backyard, and it's got some apples on it.
Yep.
But it's also got flowers.
Yeah, you know, don't feel worried this year because it's a result of all the rain we had in summer and that cold spell we had, because my crabapple's flowering, my flowering pears are flowering, and I've noticed some flowers on my plum too. And it was just that we had dry, we had then all that rain, and we had 10 days of cold. And those trees are confused.
They suddenly
thought, oh, hang on a minute, it's autumn, I better, you know, it's spring, I better do something. And that was just enough to trigger it. And I looked outside. Now, at the moment, on my flowering pear, I've got green foliage that's starting to colour. I've got autumn foliage on a few tips that are bright orange. And I've got flowers all on one tree, and it's just totally confused.
So it's,
yeah, I guess that might be the case, but they won't come to anything.
They won't. That's right. Because the tree, within 6 weeks' time, well, it'll be starting to slow down now. But once, definitely by May, the tree's starting to definitely close, shut shop, go into dormancy. So they won't come to anything, and it won't affect the tree. I do have all incredible new growth as well. So that looks like spring after it's flowered on my crabapple, and it's this beautiful burgundy growth. So it's just one of those things that's happened this year, Graham.
Yep, thanks, Sue.
Pleasure. You take care.
Don't you worry about it is the key. Let's talk jacaranda trees. Dave in Padbury, hello.
Good morning. How are you, Darren? How are you, Sue?
Yeah, well, thank you, Dave.
Really well.
Good stuff. Sue, it's just that we have a jacaranda tree growing in a suburban garden.
Yeah.
And it's getting up there. It's about 3 to 4 metres high now.
Yeah.
But it's about 2 metres away from a limestone wall. Will that cause any problems with its roots, do you think?
What's the reinforcing, or say the footings of that limestone wall?
Well,
like?
it's actually right next to a church, and the wall that it would hit over the other side, as you keep talking about, the other side, back garden, it's about an 8 to 10 foot drop on the other side. But it's quite thick limestone.
Yeah, as I say, if it's thick limestone, if it's 8 to 10 foot drop, the footings will be, you know, as much as you've got height, you've got to come out at the base as well. So mm-hmm. so the footings of that decent limestone wall, I suspect mm-hmm. you'll be fine with that. The problem that you would have is if it was, say, a two block high, one on top of each other, more decorative limestone mm-hmm. wall that didn't have extensive footings on it. Mm-hmm. The other thing, Dave, that you can can do is you can dig a trap, put root barrier material around it as well on that side.
Then
particularly in winter, and then that will stop the pressure of it. Because jacarandas cope very well in confined spaces.
They do
really well. Depends if there's main roots heading that way, you'll find, but I suspect, depending on where the main roots go, but I suspect that the footings of that wall will be more than ample to be able to cope with that.
So you think it would actually hit the wall and then maybe just go downwards or sideways?
Yeah. I suspect, exactly. And also, if you encourage to water it on your side, on the opposite side, that's where the main roots will be because the plants are chasing the water.
Okay, then. Oh, well, that's good. Because
but I'd have a little bit of a dig around there and see what roots are heading that way.
Yeah, because it's a beautiful tree, and it's about 3 to 4 metres high, and it's been in about 14 years, and it's only flowered the last 2 years. So
nice.
Got plenty of life left in it.
Yeah.
They say they can grow up to about, 15 metres high or something?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and they get quite wide. Have a look around some of the older areas where they're growing in confined spots. You'll be amazed.
That's good.
And you don't want to kill the tree just because of one wall, and I suspect 8 to 10 foot... The footings retainings has to come out a long way. So it's pretty solid.
Pretty strong.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
good news.
Okay, then. Thanks very much,
David.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Great to chat to you. Janice in Waterman's Bay. Hello.
Hello. How are you, Darren and Sue?
Well, thank you.
Excellent. I've got a problem with my grapevine first, and all of the fruit that the grapevine seems to be touching, and I think it's fungal from what I've heard you say before too.
Yeah.
It's basically, I've got a graying of all the grapes, and now I'm getting on my mangoes where the grapevine has actually gone across the tree, I'm getting black spots on the fruit.
Yeah.
And it also occurred on my citrus trees when they fruit, not now, but when they have fruited, they've had the black spots on them. So I think it's fungus from what I've heard you say before. But I'm wondering when to spray and how extensively or what to do. Should I be putting antifungal in the soil or over the leaves, or what should I be doing?
Interesting. Antifungal more we don't use for home gardens in the soil, but what we do use is more topical or more sprays on fruit. So you can use sulfur. What you would have, a couple of things, but there has been this year, Janice, it's just one of the things that just totally normal. We've had lots of powdery mildew because of the high humidity and the moisture around. Now, powdery mildew is what causes the distorting of the leaves of the grapes, and then which is on top of the leaves. If you turn the leaf underneath and you end up with graying underneath the leaf, that's actually downy mildew. Now, downy mildew is a little bit trickier to get rid of, but I suspect you've got powdery mildew, and then it causes the blackening and the shriveling of, and it's quite a distinct smell. When you pick your grapevines that have been affected by powdery mildew, it's got this really distinct smell, and you'll find you get graying of the bunches, you get dieback of the bunches, and then you end up with all sorts of issues. How we can control that is quite easily controlled with sulfur. Sulfur is a fungicide that's extensively used, particularly for edible crops, and it's safe for edible crops. And that's spraying after the finished flowering, as the buds are forming, and then intermittent sprays around. You know, you probably wouldn't have sprayed. What opening up air movement is really important. So if it's in a protected spot and there's lots of foliage and there's not a lot of air movement, if you trim it a little bit, open it up, let the wind go through, that will fix it. And you'll find the fungus that's on the mango isn't the same. You'll find that, and even though it's just coincidence, it might be where it's rubbing. And yes, they get a little bit of mildew, but not usually cause a problem at all. You'll find the problem that you've got on your mango is a problem called anthracnose. And you get these little black angular marks on it. And that comes through moisture around as well. You'll find that that's a fungal problem, and often cold will cause anthracnose. And so That's the same. Manco Zeb Plus is what we need to control that. That's
another function.
Manco Zeb Plus, M-A-N-C-O-Z-E-B Plus. You'll find that that's the control for that. Then we head over to our citrus, and black spots on our citrus often, usually, sometimes they get a little bit of blight, but on our fruit, often it's scale insects that cause that problem. But then they bring a problem called sooty mold. Sooty mold is the fungus that's spread by ants, and white oil is the easiest way to control that. So what I would be doing with your grapevine, in winter when you trim it, prune it, give it a spray of lime sulfur as well. Lime sulfur will clear it up, but a winter spray of white oil on your citrus helps it a lot, clears up lots of mites and lots of things as well. But white oil or pest oil, when the scale insects are active, you'll find will help a lot for your citrus tree, and that will just clear that up as well.
Excellent.
I know it's usually one after the other. Yeah, one after the other, and it's a coincidence that they all are happening at the same time. Yeah.
Right. Okay, thanks for that.
Pleasure, Janice.
Cheers, Janice. Take care. Bye-bye. 9221882 to jump in before we wrap up gardening for your Sunday. Then it's from 9 o'clock, Work Life Money, Ross Greenwood back on board after news. Mm-hmm. And from 10, Peter Newman with the Peter Newman Experience, or the brunch, Sunday brunch with Peter Newman.
Is he back? Because he wasn't here last week,
I've seen him floating around already.
Uh-huh. Good work.
He's ready to take your calls. But give us a buzz, 9221882, 13 to 9.
You're listening to The Weekend Wake-Up for KingCare, specialists delivering in-home care for WA's elderly and people with disability.
I'm Gareth Parker from The Morning Program, where Transport Minister Rita Saffiotti revealed the new Labor government will introduce a taxi plate buyback scheme, but it might be funded by a new levy on Uber rides.
And that's a big question, of course, is how we fund it and also the cost per plate. So we're getting some modelling done. There's no easy option. Industries have been reformed in the past. Now, this one has been the worst handled reform in the state's history.
That's The Morning Program, where the newsmakers come to talk.
Mornings with Gareth Parker, tomorrow from 8:30 on 882 6PR, or catch up now at 6pr.com.au. For the best AFL bet specials, get the Tab Touch. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly. Tab Touch, a proud supporter of 6PR football.
Mum, I have two surprises for you.
Mm-hmm.
First, I topped the class in English.
Yes!
Second, here's my mobile phone bill.
No.
The one bill you won't be surprised by is your next Toyota Genuine Service Bill. Before you book, you can download your next scheduled service quote and what's included. And that's your maximum price, guaranteed.
Do you love me, Mum?
Half the time.
Search Toyota Service Pricing. Conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Michelle Bridges. If you're looking for a healthy meal, pop into Woolies and pick up my new range of delicious, nutritious, ready meals. They're packed with two or more serves of vegetables and have no artificial colours, flavours or preservatives. And best of all, they take less than 5 minutes to prepare. Healthy has never tasted so good. Pick them up in the deli at Woolworths today.
Looking after the garden can be challenging, especially as we get a little older. A helping hand goes a long way, and the ladies at Weeding Women are here to help prune your rose bushes and get those winter weeds back under control. The ladies at Weeding Women will take care of your garden like it's their own, and they offer handsome discounts for pensioners. So if you need a little help in the garden this winter, call the team at Weeding Women on 1-800-247-484.
Domain's Big, Big Weekend on now. Race in for Big, Big Savings in Furniture. Up to 50% off discontinued and X-Display fabric and leather lounges. And up to a big 60% off discontinued and X-Display outdoor furniture. Domain's Big, Big Weekend. Don't miss big deals in homewares. Up to 50% off selected picture frames. Plus more in store while stocks last. Domain's Big, Big Weekend. Too big to miss. Hurry, ends Monday.
loved by landlords, awarded by Canstar. Terry Shear Landlord Insurance offers outstanding value. With loss of rent and damage caused by tenants, as well as flood, fire and water damage to landlord contents, all covered at no extra cost. Terry Shear Landlord Insurance helps protect your investment property from just $1 a day. Terry Shear acts on behalf of Vero Insurance, the product issuer. Before buying, read the PDS at terryshear.com.au.
We're talking gardening with Darren DeMello and Sue McDougall on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
Almost done for another weekend, Sue. 10 to 9, and room for a couple more calls here. 92211 882. Let's go to Leeming. Andrew, hello.
Oh, hi. Good morning. I'm interested in... Can you hear me? Sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can. What go can for it, Andrew.
Okay. Good morning. I'm interested in raised garden beds. My wife wants to... I can't take off speakerphone a minute.
Okay.
My wife wants to do a raised garden bed in our front garden.
Yeah.
And we don't know anything about it. And I wondered...
That's okay.
First of all, is there any benefit or disadvantage as far as the shape's concerned?
No benefit, disadvantage at all. Totally what you want to do. Is it raised to make it easier so you can't bend, because you don't want to bend over, you like the look of it? Yeah.
Yes, that's the reason why, because you're bending over.
Yeah, certainly. So make sure it's the right height for her. Sometimes we think raised is better, but as we lean across, it's still very difficult. And so make sure you just get the right height. Doesn't matter about the size. You'll find the more soil, the better, of course.
Right.
So, or the shape. No,
that's what I was wondering about. Sorry, interrupting. About the shape of it, in the sense, is it better to get like a longer, thin one so you can reach both sides easier?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Or I've seen some clover, you know, just three sized swirly ones.
Yeah.
They are quite more expensive, but you can reach into the middle, definitely.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. The other main thing is to do with soil. We live in Leeming, which is all sand. What do you need to put into as far as soil is concerned, and perhaps fertilizers and mulch and this?
Andrew, what does your wife want to grow? What do you want to grow?
I don't know. She wants to grow vegetables. She's actually asleep at the moment.
Oh, so no way. You're doing it secretly for her.
Yes.
Oh, you're the best husband out.
Good
nice.
Man.
So what you put in there to start with is a veggie mix. That will give you a really good mixture of manures, sand, compost that's already pre-mixed. And then otherwise doing your own is going to take forever. So you mix that, you put that in, and then you'll find you need to just let it pack down a little bit. So it will fill it up higher than you think it needs, because it will compact a little bit. And you'll think, hang on a minute, my soil's missed, you know, disappeared. So over a couple of weeks, it will move packed down. Not too much.
Right.
Don't fill out too much that the water comes through.
So,
and then when you go to plant, you add some organic based veggie granular fertilizer. So then you mulch as well with a composting mulch. So you might use lupin mulch or pea hay mulch. And then as you water it, that mulch breaks down, improves the soil. So once a crop has finished, you can then compost the leaves or the silver bead and all the leaves, that the spent leaves from the veggie garden.
Right.
And then that goes back on the bed. Another layer of sheep manure goes on the bed, and then you plant into that. So you're forever feeding the soil after each crop, basically.
Right, I see. As far as the veggie mix is concerned, do you buy it from... Say, but from a garden supplier, but by a truckload as opposed to bags and things like that.
Yeah, exactly right. By a truckload, exactly. And I think there's just in Leeming, there's a couple of, if you head to Canning Vale, there's a couple of bulk soil suppliers there.
Right.
Or you can ring them up and just say you want to get a 4 cubic metre mini truckload. You better get your exercises out to start up.
Oh, yes. I have.
Start digging.
I've
digging.
Done some shoveling loads.
You think,
When that happens, I should actually wake you up. She's not going to see all that long.
Yeah, you might need some help.
Yeah, exactly. You might need some help. But that will give... Then you can plant into it straight away, Andrew.
Right. Is there any... Sorry, interrupting, because I do this all the time. Sorry about this.
That's okay.
Is there any books you can get sort of that's... I mean, I've written down what you're telling me, but is there any books you can get for people who have just started, don't know anything about it.
That's
simple, really. No, not too complicated.
Certainly. Josh Byrne wrote a book about growing veggies in small spaces. There's Neville Passmore and Trevor Cochrane have written a book about vegetables as well, gardening in Western Australia. And then there's raised garden beds. If you Check out Green Life Soil Company. I know that's a little way away from you. It's in Farrell Road in Midvale, but they have a lot of information of growing vegetables organically as well. So they will be able to help you. They're Green Life Soil Company. Check out their website.
Midvale, I've written that down. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for your help.
Pleasure.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Right.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too, Andrew. Great to have you on board. And now, John in Balcatta, I think, will be our last caller this morning. G'day, John.
Hi, John.
Yeah, g'day, Sue and I just can't think of your name now.
Darren. John?
Darren, that's right, yeah.
How can we help?
This Brennia plant, I don't know whether you pronounce that right or not, I don't really know.
That's Sue. Okay. Brennia is how I say it, but the Y doesn't even rate, really. Brennia is how we say it, yeah.
Oh, okie dokie, Brennia, yeah. It's an limestone ridge.
Yeah, love it. The colour is awesome at the moment.
Mm-hmm, yep. Mm. The berries on it, the red berries, are they poisonous at all?
Oh, not that I know of.
Oh, it says it's small green flowers are followed by red berries
in
the summer.
Not that I know of. It's not one that I've had on a list that has... do you have worried about young kids or birds or
mainly dogs?
Mainly dogs. Okay, yeah, it's not one that I actually know or has. You know, when I say has flagged anything to say it is a problem, but there is RSPCA has a really good South Wales has a really good website that tells you what plants are toxic. Mm-hmm. I would say just check it out. Not that I know of, but then you'll find one of those things. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're still
there, yeah. So check it out. Not that I know of.
Yeah.
So but what you can do, what you can do, you'll find that the anything, actually, any of those plants, if after it's flowered, you give it a light trim, get rid of the berries, then it will send out new growth anyway. So you don't have those berries on all the time.
Yep, okay.
I'll check it out for you, John.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks for your call, John. But sadly, that's all we've got time for.
Hang on the line and I'll talk to you.
Okay.
All right. We do have a few more on the text as well that we'll have to try and get to when we get back on board next week. So great to have you aboard. And so, yes, grevilleas, go and get one for a pot for your garden, Sue.
Enjoy it. They're easy to grow, native potting mix, controlled-release fertiliser for native, so you need three things, four, a pot. You might already have one. Clay pots work really well because they breathe fantastic
for autumn. Birds will flock.
Yep.
We're done. You're back Thursday.
Yes.
We'll see you next weekend.
Take care, Darren.
Bye.